everyone, and welcome back to the Bell Ringers podcast. Colin Daly here with Benjamin Goldstein, and we are still here mourning the loss of the 2025 Phillies. What is it now? 2 months removed. However, we finally reached the point of the offseason where we can put the previous season into the past and bring the new season into the light. It is the 2025-26 or just 2025?
I don't know what they call it because it's like 426, but it's in 25, so I don't know how they specify it. I think it's a 2025 winter meeting because it's in 2025.
That's it. I would be really mad if they called it not the year we're in. So look at this, Ben. We're like 30 seconds into the episode, and we're already striking up a good hot topic debate.
Yeah, it is for the 2026 season, but it takes place in 2025. They call it the 2025 winter meetings. But, like, I feel like this should happen in early January, not late December, unless they want to get the ball rolling. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, this is just a really weird time to have the winter meetings, I feel like. Also, Ben and I were talking about this before the episode. In case you didn't realize, it starts at 7 o'clock tonight.
The coverage starts at 7.
Yeah, so, that's – what time? Could you imagine, like, rolling into a business meeting at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night? If that doesn't make you want to, like, retire, I don't know what does. But – like 7 o'clock on a Sunday night when you're supposed to be like preparing yourself for the work week ahead, but apparently not in the world of Major League Baseball corporations.
I'm gonna get started at 7 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's no thanks. I'll be eating dinner and doing homework and trying to talk to as few people as possible, knowing that I have to talk to everyone in school for the next 5 days. That's how I roll. Meetings, not gonna happen.
No.
But anyway, there's going to be a lot we're looking out for at the winter meetings this year. The Phillies are having probably the most significant shakeup in their roster in the past,
5-6 years, 2019.
It could even be more than that. Because if you think about it, like we've had a lot of small, like all of the guys we've had consistently over the last 3 or 4 years have been like kind of built up over better half of a decade or so, but now a lot of them are leaving at the same time, right? Ranger Suarez, Kyle Schwarber. I mean, we've rattled the list off so many times. Harrison Bader, it feels like he's been here for a while, but it really was only half of the season. But I mean, the list just goes, it sounds like we're going to be losing Nick Castellanos, maybe Alec Boehm, JT behind the dish. I mean, it's a pretty extensive list. And you know, at the end of the day, this is a different situation for the Phillies front office because we've always made the complaints in the past 3 years that the Phillies front office does not take any action during the offseason to better prepare themselves for the next season. But this year, if they want to field a team with 9 major league players, they're going to have to, right, Ben? Like, they're running out of options. Like, they've always had, we said last, was it last year? Yeah. That Alec Boehm needs to go. And Alec Boehm didn't get traded, but at the end of the day, you always had Alec Boehm there. This year, with the DH, with your catcher, with the starting pitcher, you just don't have those people to fill those roles, so you're going to have to go out and do something. So I think what makes this year's winter meetings vastly important compared to past year's winter meetings. So
yep, DeBrassi's going to have to do some talking, some deal-making, and I mean, those two guys on that list could be signed back here or with a different team this week. So this is going to be a very vital week for the Phillies. They got today until Wednesday to, you know, I mean, it sounds like Schwarber and Muto are going to have deals by Wednesday. So we'll see what's up, but we're gonna dive into everything here.
Yeah, so I think the first thing you want to talk about is just what are we expecting at the winter meeting? So I guess if you don't know what the winter meetings are, is it's basically just a conference really bringing together like the owners, the general managers, all of the executives that are within a Major League Baseball front office, and they're discussing pretty much all things transactional. So it's your free agent signings, your trades. It could be major league players, minor league players, international players. And there's a lot of guys this year that are going to be on the market from the Phillies who are, you know, those the hot guys in terms of like, that sounded weird. In terms of who's going to be on the hot seat. That's what I'm trying to say. Who's going to be on the hot seat for getting traded and getting signed? So now the first guy we wanted to talk about was Kyle Schwarber, because he has been a staple in the Phillies lineup for the past 4 years now. 4 years? Yeah, 4 years. I always get the Schwarber contract and the Castellanos contract flipped. I want to say that Schwarber was 5 years and Castellanos was four. Which, unfortunately, looking back on it, right. Well, yeah, because like, especially the last 2 years, I've thought to myself, oh yeah, they gave the better player the longer contract, because at the time, that's what the thought was. That Castellanos was, at least the year before they were both signed, had a little bit better of a year than Schwarber. Anyway, Schwarber's on the hot seat tomorrow. Well, really the rest of the week. And I feel like I've seen a lot of the main team that I've seen with his name circulating has been the Cincinnati Reds. I know he had a visit. Was it like a visit with their ballpark and organization about a month ago? Was that?
I don't even know what was going on. He like went back for like his high school or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. And then like the Reds got brought up, and I mean, he's from 30 minutes outside Cincinnati. Like, he would destroy in that ballpark. Like, are the Reds for real? Like, I don't even know what to think, because the Reds have never really signed a free agent to the power of Kyle Schwarber, like, money-wise. And do the Reds have that kind of money to sign Schwarber? The Reds, like they have a good team. Like, they have good pitching staff. They have a fairly decent starting lineup. I mean, they made the playoffs last year. I don't know how serious they are in retaining Schwarber. Like, is what they're being rumored to be, is that really just like propaganda that's being thrown out so Schwarber gets more money and teams think they have to spend more? I mean, I don't think they'll sign Schwarber, but I think they're really in contention for him. I think it's an actual serious this is like a serious thing that the Phillies need to be out for, but I don't think Cincinnati will have the money to do it or want to spend the money to do it, because that's just not who they are.
Yeah, that's a good point about the Reds. I mean, and the other thing, when I think of the Reds, they seem like a team that, I mean, obviously the big signing that they have had in the last, 15 years was the Joey Votto extension, which I think was in 2013.
Yeah, around then.
2012, yeah.
And even that was like their own guy. Like, they haven't gone out and
right. It's all extensions, because I think they gave Castellanos a pretty hefty contract extension after he had been traded there. So it's not like they're going out and finding these players raw, so to speak. They're taking guys that have been like acclimated with their organization and then giving them these extensions. So I don't know. I'm really curious if that's something the Reds would do. I think they've kind of taken a little bit of a step up the last like two or so seasons in terms of their performance, and just even some of the younger players in the organization have shown some promise. Ben, I know you mentioned two other teams on this list that are potential suitors, be the Red Sox and the Mets. I think that they, at least financially speaking, are much more realistic options for Kyle Schwarber. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I could definitely see a Red Sox reunion. I mean, he had a ton of success in Boston. Kyle Schwarber did. So I could definitely see it.
He was a good first baseman for the Boston Red Sox at that point. He was playing some first base. Red Sox feel like they're the only real team outside of the Phillies, I feel. excuse me. The Red Sox, he was there in 21. Obviously, we said he had success. He fits and what they need. They have the money. Where the Mets kind of, they feel like a threat against the Phillies a little bit. Like, I don't see. I mean, if Schwarber goes to the Mets, he's an automatic enemy here. I feel like if he goes to the Reds or the Red Sox, it's really not that harmful. But like the Mets, it feels like another situation where the agency is saying things and putting things out in the public that will hopefully that they will hope to raise some eyebrows around the Phillies organization and make them think that they need to spend more money than they really do to bring Schwarber back. So this feels like a threat and fake with the Mets. But I mean, if the Mets are real, they have more than enough money to do it. They are the New York Mets. So I don't think the Mets are for real. I really don't know how much the Reds are for real. It really just feels like the Red Sox are the number of the other team in there for the Phillies. We also heard the Pirates were in, the Giants, the Cubs were in for a little bit. They seem to have fallen off a bit, which I was kind of surprised by. Unless Schwarber is now at this point asking for more. It's just an insane amount of money from his camp, which I'm not sure about. But, I mean, it really just feels like it's Philadelphia and Boston right now. I don't see the Mets. I don't see the Reds. And also the fit with the Mets is kind of weird, unless this could be their backup if they don't get Alonso or Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I've also seen a similar trend. I think the one thing that I've said on here a couple of times, but if you haven't heard me say it, I'll say it again. I truly believe that for every home run Kyle Schwarber hit in 2025 could have earned him $1 million on an annual contract. Like, I think the market this offseason is going to be so crazy, especially with the way the postseason played out and Dodgers winning back to back. And I think that teams are going to spend a ridiculous amount of money to try to dethrone the Dodgers and realize that like the Dodgers are the ultimate example, for better or worse, probably for worse, that you can buy yourself a World Series championship with the right resources. So, and I shouldn't say, that sounds like I'm discrediting the players in the team who are like incredibly talented athletes, but from a front office perspective, they just threw money at the problem. You know, we don't have a first baseman. Let's go sign one for 300 and some odd million number of dollars. Other teams are going to do that because it's the most realistic solution right now, right? I mean, that's how teams go win championships. And when you win championships, brings in, not to get too economical here, but that brings in another round of revenue. And you're kind of, every time you go through that process, you're just exacerbating that ability to spend and spend and spend, right? If the Phillies had gone out and won the World Series this year, think about how much money they would have made off of that. The t-shirt sales, the ticket sales, they could have had all these pregame events, post-World Series events, the parade. I mean, that's where they get the money to go out and say, we won the 25 World Series. We're bringing back Ranger. We're bringing back Schwarber. We're bringing back JT. We're bringing back Harrison Bader, and we're running this thing back in 2026. Like, that's what the good teams are able to do. So teams need to get to that point where they're able to start that cycle of, like, continued success.
Or they win the World Series in their window and they don't have to deal with it. Phillies didn't do that.
Right.
So
now my question is, there's a lot of alternatives for Kyle Schwarber out there. Kyle Tucker, Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, Bo Bichette, Cody Bellinger even. There's a lot of flexibility because Kyle Schwarber was our DH. You can plug any of the nine positions. Well, please not pitcher unless you're getting Shohei Ohtani. So do not get a pitcher. But you can plug any of those eight positions into the DH and make it work. At what point are we pivoting to one of these alternatives, Ben?
Well, if Schwarber, it's very interesting because it feels like it's always been 5 years, $30 million. I think if there's a sixth year added, or if you're getting over $35 million, it feels like you have to think about it. It feels like you have to pivot at that point because $35 million a year for a 33-year-old DH and 6 years for a 33-year-old DH. Like, I understand that he's not playing the field and he's just hitting, but there are so many more valuable positions where you can get younger where that money can go to. Now, I know the Phillies aren't short of money, but they're reaching that fourth luxury tax, and $35 million a year for a aging designated hitter along with 6 years, when I get to that point, that is when I think I'm looking at alternatives, because you could get Kyle Tucker or Pete Alonso for the same amount of money for more years, and they're both significantly younger. And they play a position. It'll serve you better. So six years or $35 million, I'm moving on.
I think he's going to sign for way more than $35 million.
But like the Mets or the Dodgers, like I don't see a team.
Yeah.
Like the.
Even Boston, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think Schwarber's going to make more money than we think. Like I could see it pushing 40, 45, which is ridiculous. But I think it's going to be a hot market this year. I mean, every year the past few years has been so. And I don't see that trend discontinuing.
So if Schwarber if Schwarber's going to make 40 plus, he would be at least the fourth highest paid player per year in Major League Baseball.
Who are top three right now?
The top three are Soto, who's making 62, Zach Wheeler's making 42, and Vladdy's making 40.2. Aaron Judge is making 40 flat. Like, Kyle Schwarber, 33 years old, is not up with those guys.
Yeah, but think about when those contracts were signed. Not in 2025. I know some of them have been recent, but... And does that account for players who have, like, the backloaded contracts? It's like, Ohtani is making $70 million a year, right?
I mean, for the total, if you put it in essence, it's really... Ohtani with 70, Soto with 41, Wheeler 42, Judge 40, DeGrom 37, but payroll per year, Ohtani technically does not fall in that top five because it's all sent back.
Okay.
And then Anthony Rendon, 38.5, is number five, and he's not even playing.
Maybe the Angels will make a splash on Schwarber. It's... Her redemption arc. That'd be funny. All right. So what do you think some of the alternatives for, or of those alternatives I mentioned for Schwarber, who is the most suitable for the Phillies?
I think Kyle Tucker.
I
think Kyle Tucker is the perfect fit. Like you need an outfielder. He can kind of do everything on the field. He's a fine defender. He can hit for power. He can hit for contact, extra bases. And if you really are going to pay Kyle Schwarber $35 million a year, you can kind of sign Kyle Tucker for $400 million over 10-plus years, and that kind of even out to the same number. However, it's another guy they're going to have locked up for long-term, $300-plus million. It's just – I don't know if that's another thing you want to do there while – Alex Bregman is another guy I think is really interesting because third baseman, a right-handed bat that can be behind Harper coming off a really good year. Bo Bichette, another guy that you can plug in at third base. But I feel like they could sign Bo Bichette even if they re-sign Schwarber. So, I mean, those three, I don't know how real Pete Alonso is with Philadelphia. I mean, his fit is kind of there. At first base, I just can't visualize Pete Alonso in a Phillies jersey and then Cody Bellinger as well as another guy. I think Kyle Tucker's a perfect fit, but the Phillies aren't suited up to sign a guy like that. So, I mean, Alex Bregman, I would have loved him at the Phillies last season. And you move on with Boehm, why not do it this year?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thought. I agree. Kyle Tucker is just the perfect fit for Philadelphia. It makes way too much sense. Like, potential DH, crazy power bat, also hits for a high average. He can play some defense in the outfield. I mean, you cannot beat what Kyle Tucker has to offer. And honestly, Pete Alonso, yeah, like you make a good point. It's hard to see him in a Phillies jersey, but he would be filling a really similar role of like middle of the lineup or middle to beginning of the lineup cleanup bat of just straight, pure and utter power. Similar,
and that's a guy that you need behind Harper, like a right-handed bat behind Harper. Phillies have that's been the number one thing these playoffs is they don't have a guy to protect Bryce, and that's been where they have fallen short really every year. I mean, Harper hasn't been Obviously, it wasn't great in 2025, but, you know, he got that blood procedure, so maybe his new blood.
You saw that.
I don't know what that. I didn't know Bryce Harper was such a scientist into science.
I was denied.
Hey, you're the science guy. You got to figure that out for me, Bill Nye.
Well, that's like the like after the level of having like oxygen in the air higher up in the atmosphere, you have ozone. It's
so he's a.
I don't know.
He's an astronaut.
Apparently. I mean, well, ozone is like all people who are really into like the climate science stuff and protecting the, like ozone is the layer that blocks like the harmful rays from the sun. So it's what keeps us from like burning to death. So I don't really know. Now I have no idea of what ozone does in your blood. Like, I don't think there's any harmful rays in there. But I saw he had a long list of the things that it helps with. So I guess we'll take his word for it.
Sure.
Wait, okay, we're gonna go on a quick side tangent here. It won't be long, I promise. It might be, but it won't be. Did you see the video of Harper from like a month ago where he looked like a zombie?
The hair, there's his new facial hair with the mustache.
Well, yeah, and he like deleted it.
Yeah.
Because everyone was taught, well, he did look like admittedly really scary. Like, what was going on? He looked like thinner almost.
Did I mean, maybe he hasn't eaten since they lost the playoff game.
He's entered post-loss depression.
Yeah, he's in like dark
mode. Philly season. But it was really unsettling. He just deleted it, and I mean, even the video that he posted on his, I think TikTok yesterday, he was making chicken or something. He did look a little like, I don't know, unusual is the only good word I can think of.
It was definitely a different look. For Bryce, here, let me see.
I feel like he should be a country singer now with the way he's dressed.
Yeah, he's kind of got that feel. Here is Harper. This was, I guess this morning, yesterday. It was him making chicken here. So, I mean, he doesn't look as bad here.
No, not at all.
But still, for those who are not watching and on the listening side of things, he's got this mustache going. He shaved his beard.
Makes his head look a lot more thin, like narrow.
And maybe it's just like, because we haven't really seen him without a beard in a while. So maybe it's just.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got no beard. He's got short hair. So.
Right. And a lot of times we see him wearing a helmet, mostly on TV. That's true. Yeah, it's weird.
So I'm not really sure what's going on there. Anyway.
But yeah, I can see Pete Alonso being a really good fit in terms
and
of
And I feel complete... like that also helps Harper because Harper if I
oh, mean 100%. Yeah.
Harper can be your designated hitter. Like I'm perfectly fine with, you know, Harper's got so many injuries over the last couple of years, like just have him hit. Like don't even risk anything else. Like I'm totally fine with that. And I mean Alonso, but like can you replace 58 homers, 135 RBIs a season? No, you can't unless you're getting Cal Raleigh, which or Aaron Judge, which you're not going to.
Right.
Schwarber had the most RBIs in baseball last year, so I just don't like. I don't know what you do. This is why I'm not in the front office. I don't know what direction you take, but. I think if you get to 6 years, $35 million plus, you got to move on. Or 6 years, $5 million.
But see, the point that you just made, I think, is why he's going to get more money than that. Like, you can't
replace him. He's 33 years old. He's 33.
Doesn't matter. He's only shown signs of speeding up over the last 2 years. So.
I don't think. You look at this 2025, you're never going to get this 2025 again. You're not. He's 33.
No, it's not going to happen.
You got to look at. You can't look at, oh, well, he did this season, so you got to pay him this amount of money. You got to look at the future, but I don't see Schwarber slowing down significantly over the next 2 years. Like, he's still going to have 40-plus homers, 100, 110, 120 RBIs, and what he brings in the clubhouse is also so valuable, which is why you have to retain him. But it gets to a point where you look at the money, you look at the years, and there's bigger issues on this team. You got an outfield hole to fill. You got a kind of a first base hole to fill if you want Harper to be healthy for the rest of his career. You might have a hole. You got kind of a hole at third base because Alec Boehm isn't really doing it for you. Second base as well is kind of an issue now. The bullpen. So if you invest all this money, and you got to re-sign JT because you don't have an option set at catcher. So you have to, you have to re-sign Schwarber, but you don't have to re-sign Schwarber. So I don't know where you go. And I think if you, there has to be that cutoff point. And if he's demanding a 6-year, and if it's 35 million plus, maybe 37 million plus, I'll bump it up a little. You got to move on. Because if you're 5 years, 130, if you get to like 5 years, like 140, like you can't do that. I don't even know. But
yeah, I don't.
Like if 5 years, 5 years, 175, I'm moving on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, but. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I think the reality of the situation is that what you're saying, 29 of the teams will identify, and there's one team who's going to ignore the fact that he's 33 years old and will say, oh, yeah, we'll pay him the money to come here, knowing what the productivity he had last year and the, just his, like, his profile in baseball being such a, like, you know, clubhouse-oriented player. I hope what you say is true, but I don't know. We'll see because I'm really.
We're gonna find out this week.
Plays out.
Find out this week in Orlando, what he's going to go for. But I mean, we'll see. It's gonna be. Schwarber is one of the most interesting free agent cases in Philly's history, just because of both sides are very valid, and there's alternatives out there that are also very valid. And I don't know where you go, but also you look at this Mets here and it's like, he can't go to the Mets. So.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about catcher a little bit. JT Realmuto is arguably the second most significant loss that Phillies are experiencing this offseason. And there's two questions here. Is JT Realmuto the only catcher? And if not, who? I have some thoughts. Ben, I think you have some thoughts as well.
Well, it would have been nice to maybe take a shot at Harry Ford from Seattle, who got traded to Washington for a bag of chips and a couple pennies, where the Phillies, it was rumored that it could have been Matt Strom for Ford and maybe another guy, but he went to the Nationals for nothing, so that sucks. But I mean, there is another option. He hasn't been very good. Adley Rutschman is out there with Baltimore, switch hitter, catcher, young. But you know, his recency hasn't been great, and that leads me to believe that JT is kind of the only option.
See, I don't know. I think I'd go Rutschman because JT is getting old. I mean, he's going to be right. I mean, Rutschman last year was a what? Under 700 OPS, 220 hitter. JT is going to reach a point where he's going to struggle offensively too, especially with his age. And you're not going to sign Realmuto for more than 2, 3, maybe 4 seasons. We're just going to end up having the same conversation down the road again. And frankly, the Phillies don't have any catchers in the organization. They had one and traded him away. Who are young enough that I'm confident, that are mature enough that I'm confident that they will be a contributing member to the major league team in the next, 2, 3, or 4 seasons. Even if they take somebody out of high school.
I think you'll have 3 years to figure it out though. Like if you are able to hopefully get a guy in the draft, like I don't know what the draft looks like this year, but if you can maybe get a guy and like kind of rush him, like I know that's not what you want to do, but Adley Rutschman last year hit 220 with a 673 OPS.
Well, 2 years before that, he was an all-star.
229 RBIs. And the year before
So the reality is he's slowed down over the past season and a half.
Yeah.
But you also can't deny his success for the first year and a half of his career. And yeah. I also think a year and a half of success isn't to the point where, like, it's the whole beginner's luck situation in Major League Baseball where the pitchers just haven't figured out how to pitch to you yet. Like, that would that trend would change in more than, actually, I'm looking at it now, it's really two seasons. He played about half of 2022. He was great in 2023. He was an all-star. And then he was good for the first half in 2024. So probably
I guess you can call it two seasons. He was really good. But you look at the recent season, you do the same thing with Schwarber. You look at the most recent season, and that's how you base his contract. But when you look at Rutschman recently, I mean, I like JT Realmuto's 2025 more than I like Adley Rutschman's 2025. But Rutschman is also what? He's a heck of a lot younger. He's 27. Which it's crazy. He's 27 already. JT is well into his 30s. So, you know, you definitely look at that with the wear and tear of a catcher. JT's 34. The JT body breakdown is coming. It's going to be in his next contract, which will probably be his final contract. But I think JT, like, he's just such a good catcher. Like, the Phillies staff is not this good without JT.
No, I agree.
Sanchez doesn't take the step he does without JT. Zach Wheeler does not elevate his career with the Phillies without Realmuto. Ranger Suarez doesn't become how good he is without JT. And I very much believe that. I just think that's why JT Realmuto is so important. But like, if you want to maybe say if you want to save yourself better for the future, you go for Adley. But you're gonna have to trade a lot for Adley Rutschman.
Yeah, no, I'm on board.
As recently hasn't been that good. So, like, can you get him for kind of a cheaper trade?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. I don't think he's going to cost too much because, you know, he's a 220 hitter. I mean, he also had some injury concerns last year. He had a couple different oblique issues. So, I don't know if that's going to impact his – I mean, I know one was like early in the season and one was in September. So I don't know if he's like, I haven't really followed to see if that's like something that's still a lingering concern, but I'm curious if some of that could explain his 2025 season struggles.
I mean, certainly he only played 90 games.
Right, but you'd think that 90 games he played while he was healthy would be the ones that he'd do well in, but clearly
it could have been lingering, you know.
True. But he also spent a lot of time, you know, with doing a rehab assignment, so I don't know. We'll have to see. I feel like I remember him having fairly long rehab assignments too, like up to 2 weeks. So I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out. And I think it's a low risk, high reward move for the Phillies. I mean, obviously that would mean you're not re-signing JT Realmuto. That's the lowest risk, would we say? Is just.
And then what do you do with catcher? If Rutschman doesn't work out, like after, I mean, what, he's probably still on his rookie. Like, did he sign something?
I don't think so.
So when is his rookie deal up? Let's see. Adley Rutschman. All right. Adley Rutschman is currently – he's on a pre-arbitration. So he becomes a free agent after the 2027 season. So he would have 2 years of control.
Just to, like, figure it out time.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you have Rutschman for 2 years or you have JT Realmuto for 2 years. I mean, and then you probably, if Rutschman works out, you resign him, but.
I know this is getting ahead, but how long until you resign Rutschman? Would that be like, if he has success after his first two-thirds of a season or three-quarters of the season, are you bringing him back for 4, 5, 6 years? Or is it, would you wait until the two years are up?
26. I think if he has like a really good 26, you could maybe, but like, they could kind of.
I mean, every game you let him have success is going to increase his price. So,
I feel like
when do you make that announcement that you're sticking with Rutschman?
I think you would have to. I think you wait it out. I think you 26. It's like that's his first season after missing half the year with multiple injuries, and then like 27 is maybe like, all right, here's the real test. Like, go, like, you know, like what they did, like what they're doing with Schwarber right now, which we'll see if that backfires. Yeah. But I like sometimes letting a guy ride it out. Like Zach Bowen with the Eagles, they let it ride it out. Then he was great, and then they re-signed him. Like, I think you're able to let guys ride out contracts and just they know that they're not going anywhere. Like Bowen with the Eagles, hopefully Schwarber with the Phillies. It really doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. So, but I still think the Phillies re-signed JT. I don't think they take the, I think Rutschman poses too big of a risk without bringing back Realmuto, which you know what you're going to get from JT, at least for next year. So we'll see. I don't know. The other teams interested in JT are the Boston Red Sox again, the Pirates, which I don't know what Pittsburgh's doing, the Rangers and the Reds again. So I mean, the Reds, Reds go get Schwarber and JT, like just become the Cincinnati Phillies, like.
Yeah,
like the Freds, like they have Austin Hayes too. So,
yes, a good point.
Maybe that'll bring some pull.
All right, let's talk trades a little bit, shall we?
We shall. Oh, I didn't mention this, but how about this Japanese starting pitcher?
Oh,
yeah, Tatsuya Imai. I hope I said that right. Phillies, right?
Imai. I wasn't even gonna try.
He said he wants to beat the Dodgers. Phillies, right? So that's great. Phillies, Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, and Cubs. Let's do it, man. You're losing Ranger. Who knows about either? Who knows about Andrew Painter and Zach Wheeler for 2026?
Mm-hmm.
Why not bring in a Japanese? Right, and we've never really had a Japanese player before. So,
well, they always sign on the West Coast because of geography. And now let's start the trend. Bring him to the East Coast. I love it.
Look.
Ship them all over.
I mean, like, we'll take them. Something interesting. I mean, I don't know what the money will look like, but
no, tell him really, friends,
man. He's really good. He's really good. It's just when you look up him, when you look him up on Google, the first picture that comes up is him in a Mets hat. So
that's funny.
You know, I don't think he'll come.
I didn't hear that. I want to beat the Dodgers.
Yeah, he said that he wants to beat the Dodgers.
Sure. He'd fit in well in Philadelphia then. You just want to beat everybody.
I mean, I don't know if maybe that's just like something his translator said. Maybe he really said that he wants to join the Dodgers and his translator. I want to beat the Dodgers.
And he was like, no. The miscommunication. I
didn't say it.
he's probably out here so confused why there's all these pictures being put up there of him. I said I wanted to go to the Dodgers. Oh, man. That's funny. Anyways, there's two names floating around the Phillies trade market, Nick Castellanos and Alec Bohm. Nick Castellanos, like the definition of the disgruntled employee that you're trying to force to resign before you have to just outright fire him, except we're doing it through trade. Nick Castellanos had a really, really rough 2025 season, was not productive offensively whatsoever, just low OPS, low average, wasn't getting on base, lots of swings and misses. I mean, power was not there. It wasn't a good year for Castellanos. And there's Alec Bohm.
I've been praying on this downfall.
We both have, I think. We're not – Bellringer's podcast is not big fans of Nick Castellanos, no. But it is what it is. And there's Alec Bohm, who I think the Phillies would get some really good return for. He's had some ups and downs in Philadelphia, but – he actually ended up having a decent 2025 after an all-star year in 2024. Is this just this is the really good chance for the Phillies to sell high situation?
Yes, but it also opens the door for more. I think this Bohm thing comes from Jeff Passan with that you gave him a 50% chance. Bohm, he's got 1 year control left of arbitration, 29. I mean, he hit a career high 287 last year, 331 on base, 409 slug, 741 OPS. His power numbers, defensive numbers, walk and strikeout rates were all lower than typical. He only had 32 extra base hits this year. He had 61 last year in 2024, I should say. Wasn't great in the playoffs. Tried to move him last year. So, Boehm, like, he feels like if there's anyone the Phillies are going to move, it's going to be him. Like, the numbers help him out. It's a known name. There's not a ton of real great third basemen out there right now.
Which helps.
Yeah, which certainly does help. And, like, if the Phillies want to get younger, like, Aiden Miller seems like he's ready to go. And especially if the Phillies don't retain Schwarber and they have to pivot, like, if you trade Boehm and you bring in Bregman, like, Boehm is as good as gone. Also, Bo Bichette is another guy. So there's a couple guys that you can replace Boehm with. And even if they want to go big and go out and get a pitcher or something, or even Ketel Marte, Boehm is a guy that could be moved. Like, I mean, Todd Zielecki said it this morning, the Phillies signed JT and Schwarber. They could even make a big move in the trade market as well. So that would likely include Alec Boehm. I'm perfectly open with moving on from Boehm if that means bringing in somebody big. And, you know, I don't really know if it'll happen. I doubt it'll happen because this is, what, year three or four of saying the Phillies are going to move on from Boehm. But, the numbers help him out. Like, you know, he had a good 2025, had a really good 24 before he got hurt in early September. You definitely can get a good return. Brewers, Mariners, Pirates, Angels. Angels, you could go get Joe Adell, Ted Ward.
Yeah, I don't.
Pittsburgh is not much there. Seattle, that could have been like a Harry Ford move, but he's gone. Then Milwaukee, I don't know. Bring Reese back.
I think for Boehm, I think an interesting one could be Detroit. Mm. For two, I mean, the main reason is
Scooble.
Well, I actually didn't even think about that. That would be amazing. However, well, the main thing is the Phillies have had so much trade talk and actual execution with Detroit over the last few seasons. Maybe it's because Dave Dombrowski was a part of the Tigers organization many years ago, or maybe it's just been out of pure convenience. But, you know, there was the Gregory Soto trade. There was the, oh gosh, I'm going to miss a bunch here. Who else did the Phillies get from Detroit?
There's been a couple of transactions. I don't know.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to have to get on this.
I feel like there's more than just that. The Angels have been one as well that the Phillies always seem to go back to.
All right. There is the Gregory Soto one in 2023.
Is that it?
Matt Manning in July 2025. Cody Clemens.
Yeah.
That was part of the Soto trade.
Yeah.
Nick Castellanos came from the Tigers. He'd been part of that organization. Just even if it's just free agent signings where the Phillies have gotten players from the Tigers, there's been a lot of transactions between those teams. So I could see that being a potential suitor. Also, the Tigers were like very, very unproductive from the third base position last year. I know they did sign Gleyber Torres. So I think they're going to shift some of their infield around and put Colt Keith at third base. But even so, they still could use some. I mean, Gleyber Torres is shaky. So if he struggles, you'd move Colt Keith back to middle infield and then you'd have third base open. And it feels like with the current infield they have, there's definitely some chance that one of them ends up not panning out, and having a guy like Boehm in there could be a good fit for Detroit. But yeah, I could also see Los Angeles Angels being a potential suitor. Maybe the Diamondbacks. I know they have a lot of like developing players who aren't necessarily ready yet for the major leagues or not fully acclimated with playing every day in the major leagues. So I think that, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of options. Also,
that's good. It's good that there's all these possible options for the Phillies. It's not a bad thing, obviously.
I was perusing the Harry Ford thing while you were talking, but I don't know if you mentioned with Arizona, that could be a really good match for also bringing in Ketel Marte.
Yeah.
I think could be a really interesting offseason. I have been a huge Ketel Marte fan. Gosh, for probably since he's been brought up. I think he's like a really scrappy player. He kind of reminds me of like Jose Altuve a little bit.
It was Arizona was unlikely to trade Marte. And now recently it's been that they're actively listening, which is more than just picking up the phone and being like, hey, what's up? Like, this is like,
right.
They're entertaining the fact.
Yeah.
Of Marte. However, my thing is like, he's 32. He's going to make $16 million in 2026, $92 million over the next 4 years. And he's going to be under contract until he's 37. That's another guy you're going to have till his late 30s. Like, the Phillies can't have all these guys around, like Trey Turner, Bryce Harper. Feels like all their whole pitching staff. Like, they got a lot of guys until their late 30s. JT, Kyle Schwarber, possibly. The Phillies are going to turn into the unction in a couple of years. They need to find ways to get younger. So I don't know if like Ketel Marte really fits that, but he's such a good player right now where it's just like, it doesn't really matter. You got to win. So got to win.
Yeah, I agree.
And you can win the holidays by going to SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek, download the link, download the app and the link in the description of this podcast. They are the best holidays. The holidays are here, and get your family members, your friends, or your coworker, whatever, tickets to any event on SeatGeek. And you can save some money yourself in the season of giving, so why not give yourself some money back? If you use code Philly Sports Support, you save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. PHILLYSPORTSREPORT. What are we doing with that S at the end, Kyle?
Hold the S. Just like we're going to do to Kyle Schwarber. We're holding them in Philadelphia, folks. $30 million a year. Come on. Make it happen, Dumbo.
Philly Sports Report. So you save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Thank you to the SeatGeek for sponsoring the podcast.
Ooh, is this like the Halloween episode now, too?
Ho, 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 SeatGeek!
Oh, now it's Christmas. Wow, we are from October to December Fest, folks.
We're bouncing around.
We are bouncing.
Go, little turkey. Go!
Oh,
thank you for watching and listening to the Phillies podcast. Hopefully the Phillies will have something to talk about out of the winter meetings. And if something crazy happens, we'll maybe have an emergency podcast. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Thank you all for watching and listening. We will see you next time. Go Phils.
Go Phils.